Upopan. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Śrīla Prabhupāda. O son of Brahma, how did you pass your life after initiation? And how did you attain this body, having quit your old one in due course? O great sage, time annihilates everything in due course. So how is it that this subject matter, which happened prior to this life of Brahma, is still fresh in your memory, undisturbed by time? Omagyana timidandasya janagana salakayam chakshusmiritam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manavistam shapitam jena bhutale rayam rupakaramaya radati svaparantikam shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri raitkarada shri vasari gaura bhaktivinda
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Vyasadeva, inquiring from his spiritual master about subjects that will be beneficial for everyone, how one can come from the position of a son of a maidservant to the exalted Narada Muni with a spiritual body who's able to fly all over the universe in the self-same body is valuable information. We can also, following in his footsteps, become perfect like that. That's the idea. Just like a child learning how to walk, he sees others are walking. So if we learn, by the mercy of Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, how one can go from the conditioned state to the spiritual state, to the pure devotee state, then that will be valuable for everybody who's at least sincere to make improvement in spiritual life. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, people are very slow. Manda sumanda mataya, manda bhagya upadita. People are not interested in spiritual advancement. They're very lazy about it. They won't take any trouble to and make spiritual progress. But here we'll see that Narada Muni had to take some trouble. It's not automatic. Even as a young boy, he was able to remain equiposed in the face of his mother's death. Ordinary child would be very much disturbed, become neurotic or something. But he was remembering the advice of the Bhaktivedantas, and he took it actually as a mercy. This has to be our mentality, like we were mentioning yesterday. We think everything is coming as mercy. Somehow, there's a lesson for us. So his lesson was Sneha Bandhana. He mentions this word. The Sanskrit word means by the affection of his mother, he was bound up. Bandhana means bound up. And Sneha is affection. So he was bound by the affection of his mother. So when his mother left her body by being bitten by a snake, he took that, this is the special mercy of the Lord, that he's freeing me from this bondage of motherly affection. So that's the change of consciousness that's required in our lives, to see everything is coming from the Lord. Now I'm seriously aspiring to be the Lord's devotee, therefore I can take it. that the Lord is arranging for me to come back to Him. If the Lord actually sees that we're sincere, and He knows everything, He's in our heart. So if He knows that we're sincere to come to Him, then whatever circumstances will be favorable for the devotee. Because if it's a negative circumstance, then he'll learn that lesson. If it's a positive circumstance, then he'll learn that lesson. So in this way, he's always progressing. This is the wonderful position of the devotee. He's never discouraged. He's always going forward. It's like Narada Muni. But in order to go forward like that, we have to accept, first of all, the austerity of humility. Sometimes it's difficult to be humble because of false ego. False ego is so prominent. It wants to exert itself. So that the intelligent devotee, he doesn't give that false prestige or false ego a chance or false pride to become strong. But how is that possible? By always surrendering to the Lord, by performing austerities for the pleasure of the Lord, by bowing down to the Lord, by reciting prayers to the Lord, by chanting the glories of the Lord, by preaching the message of the Lord. All these activities will keep one humble, because you won't be able to do it properly unless you're in a humble state of mind. That's a fact. The preacher also. You won't be able to distribute books. You won't be able to convince anybody unless you yourself are free from false ego. If people think that you are trying to dominate them in some way by getting them to join your church or something, then they won't be interested. But if they see that you're actually their well-wisher, their friend, then they'll be inclined to listen, to talk to you. So this is the austerity. We have to always be beating the mind with a shoe. We can't give the mind the initiative, because as soon as we do, then the mind will create some drama that we're wonderful, great devotees, and everybody should bow down to us, and so on. Just like Raghunath Das, when he prays to the mind, he compares it to the low-class woman who's dancing on the stage, taking her clothes off. She's thinking, oh, look at everyone is appreciating me. This is the mind is like that. Even though we're in an awkward position, but still it wants to present that we're in a very fabulous position and that we should be honored. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, it mentions that the devotee doesn't seek to be honored by others. Prabhupada gave that as a definition of humility. Not to seek the satisfaction of being honored by others. If we are honored by others, then we feel some internal satisfaction. Oh, everybody's appreciating. I'm so wonderful. But the devotee doesn't care for that. Like Madhavendra Puri, when Krishna stole the sweet rice for him, the Pujari brought it to the market, Gopinath, Pujari, then Madhavendra Puri was thinking, after he took some of that sweet rice and kept the pot in his cloth and so, clay pot, then he thought, now the word of this will spread, and tomorrow morning, so many people will come to find out who is that person that the deity stole the sweet rice for. And there'll be a big crowd here, so I better go now. So he wasn't interested in getting that worldly acclaim. He saw it has no real value. Bhaktisiddhanta calls it the stool of the hog. Has no value. So how do we avoid that desire for fame? By just again and again coming under the direction of the spiritual master, coming under the direction of Krishna. To be sincere, to be neutral about our position, not to be over proud of our qualities, to understand that we're in an awkward position. Then we can be humble, not artificially, but we can be really humble. And then in that humble state, we can be guided by the spiritual master and by Krishna. They're ready to guide us, but if we think we know more than them, then how can they guide us? Because it's not something that they want to force. Krishna is not looking to force us. He's looking for us to cooperate, agree voluntarily to follow His direction. So that should be our meditation. How we can become more and more qualified to be under the direction of the Lord and His representative. This is our natural, happy position. And we have to be researching our consciousness to make sure that we're keeping that proper consciousness. We mentioned in the next devotion how Krishna is not very much impressed what we've done, but He wants to see what we're ready to do. What is our service attitude? So for that, we have to be open, because that service is coming, that type of service and so on, that'll be dictated from above. So we just have to present ourselves as a willing servant. Yes, my Lord, I'm ready to do whatever you desire. We have that mentality, then we become valuable. I told the story how when Prabhupada saw that at one point I was ready to do whatever he wanted, then he appreciated more. He looked at me in a new light. I saw that personally. So that should be our mentality. Let me become an instrument just to be used by the spiritual master, by Krishna. And then we'll find that's a very happy position, a very safe position. No one can take that position away from us. It's not dependent on any material condition. It's not dependent on profit or loss. It has nothing to do with anything material. It's our happy, healthy position, constitutional position, as a servant of the spiritual master, servant of Krishna. So we should try to always keep ourselves in that humble position so that we can be valuable to the Lord. And then when we're being used nicely by the Lord, then we'll find great satisfaction. This is a practical, we can see. Just like a dog. They say a dog, if he's doing service to the master, he's satisfied. You see, like the dogs who carry the sled in the snow, they're called huskies. So when they're trained up how to carry the sled and working, pulling that sled all day, they feel satisfaction. They even look happy because they know they're being, their service is being used for their master, and they're ready to work like that all day. And at the end of the day, they take the master. He makes sure that they get proper food and proper shelter and so on, because they're valuable. And another dog who doesn't have that kind of service, he just becomes like wild, runs here and there. You see them with the carrying the taking the people for a walk, pulling here and there, because they don't know. They're just following their senses, so to speak. Their senses are so strong. They want to see this, smell this, taste this. So they're running wildly. But they're not really satisfied. We can see this even in a dog, what to speak in a human being. If a person is nicely engaged, even an ordinary sutra, he's working in a company or something, then he feels some work satisfaction. He's working to please the boss. He feels some happiness there in his service. I remember we met one devotee like that just recently, who was working in a shipbuilding company. And he was very happy to be doing that work and felt some satisfaction building these big ships. And he's just a sutra. But there was some satisfaction there for him. So the point is that we have to find out what is our duty and do that nicely, and then we'll be satisfied. Otherwise, if we're always under the control of the mind, then like the wild dog, a wild horse, we won't be any value, because our intelligence will be lost. At any moment we can rise up and run off this way or that way. And so we won't be valuable to our superiors. But this is our real position, how to be valuable to the spiritual master and Krishna. Okay, any questions? Bhagavatam ki.